Blog Talk Radio.
Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right. Little darling, the smiles we do.
Hi, everybody. It's Wednesday afternoon. Well, at least it's afternoon here in Jacksonville, Florida. And I am so thrilled. I didn't know who I was going to be sharing the airwaves with today, but it turns out it's one of my personal favorites, and I know you guys are all going to enjoy her as well, Janine Reagan Sinclair. Hi, Janine. How are you today?
I'm feeling fantastic today. I've just got back from a lovely holiday in Morocco, so I'm nice and brown and happy and relaxed, ready for a great show.
That's fabulous. That's fabulous. And while we were waiting for the show to start, I was really talking about, you know, it really is important to go on vacation. And here in America, especially if we've, you know, people who have young children or we don't really go on, we may go places, we may get on planes, we may get in cars, but we don't really go on what I consider a true vacation, like you were talking about, you know, immersing yourself in a different culture. You know, my last couple of vacations, I was supposed to go on a cruise with James von Prague, and unfortunately it was right when my brother was getting very sick. It's a good thing I didn't go. But since then, my vacations have been like going to see one of my kids or some sort of obligation, family obligation or something. And that really isn't rest. I mean, that really is not that I don't enjoy seeing them and spending time with them, but it's totally different than a relaxing vacation where you can just, you know, and the idea of, you know, going to Morocco where things look different, smell different. My friend goes to Morocco a lot, and the first thing I said, does it smell, you know, it's just different. You know, your body experiences, your body and your senses and your whole being experience something out of the ordinary, and you've really inspired me to plan something, you know, where I do that, and it doesn't have to be expensive or exotic, but really is important just for our whole body to just experience something different, you know, get a break from our routine. I've noticed that a lot of people with the time change, I think a lot of people with the anticipation of the holidays coming, a lot of people that I've been talking with and just from seeing different people's Facebook posts and things are, you know, are not that they're not doing well, but are under a lot of stress. I think, you know, the holidays certainly bring financial pressures. We have to see our relatives, some of which may have, you know, caused us situations in the past, you know, there's a lot have, you know, so what, just to open the show, what do you have to share with us about how we can just keep ourselves, you know, from getting caught up in this, you know, in this whirlwind, get caught up in just, you know, the emotional roller coaster of the holidays, you know, the relatives, all of that kind of stuff. I'm sort of babbling here, so I think I'm going to be quiet and let you talk and see if you've got something to share with our listeners about that.
Well, to be honest with you, I always set my intention that my Christmas shopping will be done in 2 days, and it always is. I probably, you know, I don't have an awful lot of people to buy for, but enough, maybe a dozen. And I just get an idea of what I want to buy people for Christmas, and I manifest it. So I know roughly what kind of thing they want, where I'm going to go to get it, and it's always there. In 2 days, I've done all my shopping. So that's if you think, oh, it's going to take me weeks to get sorted, you're manifesting whatever you dread and whatever you fear. So if you, first of all, the attitude towards it needs to be, this is going to be a breeze, I'm going to be organized, I'm going to make a list, and I'm going to give myself, you know, 2 or 3 days to do the shopping if that's what's necessary. And just remembering to breathe. People forget about breathing, just taking in some oxygen, and just taking 5 minutes to just sit down and feel your body, feel your lungs, feel the breath coming into your body. And knowing that it's only going to be for a few days and then it's all over is another thing. But I do realize that it's a hard time for a lot of people, and it's difficult if you've got to be with family members that you don't get on with. But the one thing I would say there is, if you're looking at members of your family that you don't really particularly like and they've got issues, maybe you're being shown the mirror that you've got issues yourself you need to be dealing with. So some insight there into having a look at what's going on with them, because it's a reflection of what you're not noticing in yourself. So that's something to have a think about.
And one of the things, my dear friend Chris is in the chat room and she's listening, and she, when she talks about her family, she's like, well, I think when I see them on the other side, you know, I'm going to be like, thank you so much for signing up for that really difficult assignment, you know, of the lesson that these, you know, these struggles that we have with our family and things like that are indeed lessons, and, you know, not to put up with unacceptable behavior, but, you know, how nice of that person to sign up to be the abusive, alcoholic, crazy person so that you could learn all of these lessons. Well, one of the things last Christmas, because I've had the past couple of years have been sort of crazy around the holidays. Keith died. Everyone dies right around, you know, November, December last year, right on the heels of my brother's death. My mother's in the hospital for Christmas. So the past, like, 5 Christmases have been sort of a train wreck. And last year I decided to, well, for the past 2 years I've gone to feed the homeless. Well, last year there were more people, there were more feeders of the homeless than there were homeless. And it was so interesting to me because this one woman, I got there late. This is a very funny story, but it's also an important story. So they were out of name tags. So the volunteers had name tags and the homeless didn't have, you know, we could have just taped our house key to our forehead and we could have done the same thing. Volunteers had name tags, homeless no name tags. I had no name tag. So when I would go to try to do something, clean, organize something like that, this woman kept chasing around behind me thinking that I was a homeless person trying to like steal silverware or whatever. It was really kind of funny. And the next day, I posted something on Facebook. The minister who was running this, who's just a wonderful person, really knows how to reach out, knows where all the homeless people live, people that are truly unhousable, that really have, it is not a goal to get them in housing. It's a goal to shelter them and keep them safe. Apologize. And this woman, I thought that she was like in charge or something, but he was like, no, she was just another person, you know. So you can see if she was treating you that way, her family probably didn't want to be around her for Christmas either. And it was just so interesting that it was like, really, who's helping who? And I said to the minister, I was like, you know, wow, wasn't that nice of all those homeless people to do without? So all of us people, like this lady who, me with no place to go, and this lady who was chasing me around accusing me of stealing silverware because as I packed it away, had a place to go feel better about ourselves. So I don't even know what that story had to do with anything. It's just sort of interesting to what great, you know, the holidays are just madness, but there's a lot of magic. There's a lot of just in, you know, you can always, you know, for every fight that takes place at the Thanksgiving table, you know, healing can take place as well. We can just see our relatives maybe with a different set of eyes or something, or just see, you know, again, the goal is not to put up with unacceptable behavior, but we can just kind of see things differently. And I always laugh about this this encounter with the, you know, this. There was just so many people. It was just so profound. There was like two volunteers. There was like two people who wanted to go feel good about themselves by feeding the homeless for every homeless person, and really thought, like, who are the people that really need the help here this holiday season? And in this case, I think it was much more the people with the name tags than the people that we were feeding. So things are not just always what they seem. But anyway, on that bright story, it's interesting. So I hope everybody, I guess in some places, do you have a day of Thanksgiving in the UK?
We have Christmas Day, which is the 25th of December. So the day before is called Christmas Eve, and then Boxing Day is the day after. So it's 3 days, really. So usually people get together with their families over those 3 days, but Christmas Day is the big day, and that's the 25th.
Right. I guess you guys don't really celebrate Thanksgiving, since we are celebrating leaving the UK, and I know Canada has a different Thanksgiving.
What date is that, Amy?
Our Thanksgiving is next Thursday. And
okay.
It's interesting because it is the first time in many, many years that Thanksgiving and Hanukkah are falling on top of each other. Hanukkah usually falls a little bit closer to Christmas, and it really has nothing to do with Christmas. It's not a major Jewish holiday. And of course, Christmas is a major Christian holiday, which has turned into just a major American buying spree. So it's interesting. And here in the United States, we have this huge issue going on because, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, big shopping day, and now the stores are opening earlier and earlier, and now the stores are opening on Thanksgiving and turning Thanksgiving into a shopping day. I know last year I had nothing to do on Thanksgiving either because my mother was in the hospital, and one of my, I call him one of my starfish. He's like one of my sort of sons. When he had a bartending job, when he got off bartending, we went to all these stores at like 3 a.m. and I had like my pajamas on, and we were just running from store to store. People were just buying up all this stuff just because it was on sale. And, It was like Halloween, like trick or treat. Everybody was just running with these bags. The worst part was that, you know, 3 a.m, I'm there in like, you know, sweatpants, not looking so good. And then all of a sudden the sun comes out and it turned into daytime. And I'm like there with a bunch of stupid stuff that I bought because it was on sale. Anyway, so we're taking Thanksgiving, which was supposed to be a day of thanks, and now it's turning into this big shopping day, and it's kind of causing a little bit of disgruntledness among people. It used to be our day to celebrate, you know, coming to America and the Indians and sitting down with the Indians, and someone else can probably do a better story. I can't even remember. It has to do, we eat turkey, cranberry sauce and stuffing, and it used to be a wonderful holiday when we would think about what we were thankful for, and now it's like I have to hurry up and eat because Walmart has 10 TVs, and people are getting like not murdered, but they're getting hurt because they'll have like 10 TVs for like, you know, 75% off, and they open the doors and people run and people are getting trampled, and so it's taking on a little bit of a new twist. But on the other hand, we also have the Thanksgiving Day parade, and I don't know, it used to be, it's a very big very big American holiday that would become the beginning of the holiday season, like a prelude to Christmas. But now people are putting up their Christmas ornaments right after Halloween. And enough about this. Enough about this. It's just interesting to see the evolution of everything. But for those of you who do celebrate Thanksgiving, I hope that it is a blessed one, no matter who you share your dinner with. I hope no one says, oh, it's just another day. I cannot stand when people take these holidays that were so special to them all their lives and go, oh, it's just another day, because it's not. And you can go and find, you know, if your old traditions and aren't working, and the people that you traditionally share these holidays with aren't the best people for you to spend time with, just find a way to start a new tradition. Just do something, but don't just sit there and eat Chinese food and go to the movies, or if it's important, you know, if it's a day that you celebrate. And for those that celebrate Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights, I hope that it's magical as well. But we will be having one more show next week. Anyway, I'm just babbling. We're going to go to some callers because nobody, I don't feel like talking about this anymore. So, let's...
Amy, can I just mention that my new show in January? On Blog Talk, it's going to be called Cosmic Truth. It's a 30-minute show, which will be on at 6 p.m. Eastern, by the looks of it. And I'll be having guests on, and it's not a call-in show, basically. I'm just going to be having some really wonderful people come on the show and talk about what we can, their subjects, and helping humanity raise their consciousness. So that's called Cosmic Truth, and the first show is the first official show is the 15th of January on Blog Talk Radio.
Fabulous. That's good to know. Yeah, that's great. And some talk shows. We were just talking again, you know, over the weekend, Chris at Curious Times and Kathy from Kathy's Distant Echoes put together this fabulous psychic extravaganza. It was from 12 noon to 12 hours a day, 2 days in a row, back to back, really great lineup of mediums. She was like, you know what, I think we're a little bit readinged out. And, you know, the readings are great. And it's certainly just wonderful when there's someone who really is struggling with something and they can call in and get some tools and see things a different way. But last night Chris had a great show on Curious Times. It was actually someone else who's in the chat room, October. She's one of my buddies from channeling, Eric. It was just a conversation. It was just a conversation about how she got on her spiritual path, and one thing led to another and another and another, and a lot of healing can take place through conversation as well. So I'm excited about it. I put it in the chat room, and we will be keeping our eyes out for it. Cosmic Truth, 6 p.m. Eastern, starting January 15th. It sounds so, you know, much in the future, but it's really not. It's just around the corner. So that will be fabulous. And I will make sure, and hopefully we will be able to have you, because I know everyone always learns so much when you're on this show. So I'm going to take some callers, and hopefully, you know, Janine will share with the callers some of her tools and her crystal key method of healing, which is just very, very powerful and very, very important. So I just urge the people who are calling in, understand that, you know, that try to keep the focus of your question on healing. And it could be healing with respect to a relationship or job or something like that. But I really want to take maximum advantage of Janine's expertise, and I want to make sure that everyone who's listening, not just the caller, receives some benefit from the message. So I would just ask the people who are calling to frame their question or whatever's on their heart in a way that can do the maximum good for everyone who's listening to the show live and everyone who'll be listening in archives, because Janine's Crystal Key Healing Method, really powerful and profound, and it really can help each of, you know, help each of us on our real problem. You know, we might think, and I, you know, if you knew like the things that I was upset about today, that they would take away my radio show because low vibration nonsense. So we all go there, but, you know, the real source of, we're really not upset because of that low vibration silly thing that's going on. It's really a much deeper place where we're aiming to heal. And, you know, this work that Janine does and this methodology that she teaches really does affect that deep change, you know, that's necessary for, you know, sustaining ourselves, you know, sustaining our happiness and sustaining our joy. So with that, I'm going to go to the first caller, who is 814. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, this is Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Amy.
How can we help?
Well, I'm calling to see, I've been having quite some trouble trying to change jobs, and I don't know if there's a block there, because I don't know, I've been trying to stay positive with everything, but it's been taking me quite some time to change, and I don't know if it's because it's negativity around the workplace, because I'm being harassed for quite some time now, and it's, I can't go above my boss's level because they're being involved with the harassment also.
Okay, the first thing I'm seeing in front of you, Amy, is a brick wall, and I'm being told that this is to do with fear of change. So this is something that you need to clear in order for you to help you move forward. And the easiest way to do this is to use the, nearly every week on the show I talk about Ho'oponopono, the ancient Hawaiian mantra for reconciliation and forgiveness, but it really does work, and it's free and it's cheap and it's easy to use. And it's just a mantra that you either repeat in your mind in a sort of quiet space. I prefer to write it down. So you just sit
okay.
down and you set the intention that you'd like to clear this fear of change from your energy field with the divine, with God, whatever you believe in, the universe, it doesn't matter. And you write the words, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I forgive you, I forgive me, and thank you. And I write 6 pages of it, A4 pages. It takes about 3/4 of an hour, maybe an hour, depending on how slow or how fast I'm writing. But it just balances those frequencies. It takes away the fear out of the frequencies and turns them into something pleasant and what, you know, nicer vibrations. And you can use this for anything, for, you know, any emotional energies, discordant energies, anger, unforgiveness, grief, you name it. It will work to help reconstruct and rebalance the frequencies. The original Ho'oponopono was I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you. But I've added I forgive you, I forgive me, because it felt appropriate, and as I've used that, which I've added it to in my own book, The Angel, the Witch, the Warrior, I put it in there, it feels more powerful to me and more useful with saying those words. So it's I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and I forgive you, I forgive me, and thank you. And if you just write it on one line, by the time you get to the end of the second page, you notice that your handwriting has turned into a squiggle and you've gone into a kind of meditative zone, if you like. The good thing about this is not only healing, is it alters your energy flow into the feminine, because you're going into a meditative state and you're relaxed and you're calm. So by the time you get to the 6 pages or 8 pages, you're actually bringing energy in, which is not just female energy, it's abundance energy. It allows the universe to bring things to you because the energy is on the inward instead of the outward flow. And it also brings in creativity in your downloads, your spiritual downloads, for taking your consciousness to the next level. So it's got uses in, you know, other areas as well. So that would be something that I would focus on if I was you.
Okay.
Amy, have you got anything?
No, I think that's really powerful, but I do want to, now that we're talking about this, because I think that with my low vibration, not to take from the reader, but my low vibration problem, and someone else in the chat room says so truthfully, but I don't love everybody. And I'm not, you know, so are you saying with doing, you know, because I do understand, you know, what we're talking about when we talk about love, and I do understand the healing property of this very simple but very powerful mantra. But, you know, what if you don't love them and you're not sorry because, you know, how do you shift your, do you have some simple tips so that you can, you know, people that maybe don't want to, anyway, you know where I'm going with this. How do we get to that place? How do we become willing to let go of our animosity or our something or other that is the block? How do we let go of our block to loving another person, Wenzel?
Yeah, well, you can use this to the same technique. If you've got issues with another person, if you're unhappy with another person, it's either you don't like them for some sort of reason, so angry with them, you are holding unforgiveness towards them, you're upset with them in some way. So you can set the intention that you would like to heal with the Ho'oponopono, whatever that issue is. And you can use it there. You can also just say the mantra, asking God, the universe, again, whatever you believe in, to bless, heal, and glorify your relationship with this person. What that does is sends blessings into the energy field between the two of you. It's important to cut ties with them if it's really bad, because you've got a psychic tie, psychic energetic connection to that person. If you imagine it like a black and a white thread connecting you, once you've made a negative one, for some reason you seem to be, you know, communicating down the black thread, the negative thread, instead of the positive one. If you cut those ties and bring healing into that area, it helps. But just asking God to bring in, you know, to bless, heal, and glorify your relationship, and saying that as a mantra over and over again is quite powerful. Asking for something to be glorified is to infuse it with the pure consciousness, with source energy. So it's really powerful, asking for something to be glorified, because it brings in that absolute pure consciousness into the situation, into the relationship.
Yeah, and there's another thing too, because this conversation going on in the chat room, and I think it's probably going on in a lot of our heads. Someone's like, well, what about the people who are, you know, Osama bin Laden's name is in the chat room. We think about the child molesters and the rapists and, you know, and things like that. You know, there's some people who, you know, so what are we talking about? I think we need to back up. And what are we talking about when we're talking about love? Because I think that's where a lot of people get confused too, is that they, you know, like love, there's, you know, relatives who have done horrible things, and, you know, relationships should be, you know, you're going to have to keep this person at bay to prevent, you know, further damage. But let me just cut to the chase here. What are we talking about when we talk about love? Because I think a lot of people think it's something other than what we're shooting for here. The love that brings us peace is different than the love that so many of us give and receive while we're in a body.
Yeah, well, people look at love and they think about relationships and love and sexual love, and that's coming from the heart chakra, but unconditional love, pure consciousness, this type of love, is coming from the higher heart chakra, and it's a completely different frequency in that, you know, you have unconditional love for your own children, hopefully, anyway, most of us do, whereas it does not matter what they did, you still love them, because that love is so pure and forgiving. That's the kind of love that God, you know, wants us all to have. And regarding judging people for, you know, for the wrongs that they do, the best way I can explain this is something I teach in my Level 4 workshop, which is the aspects of the self. Now, every one of us is not just the ego self. We've got the other parts of our psyche, the, you know, the inner spirit, the inner God, the inner goddess, the inner physician, the inner this, the inner dictator, the inner, you name it. And I teach people, once you've started, you know, you've been healing the first one, start to look at the other 11. So there's a row of 12. So all of these other 11 are aspects of you that need healing. So if you're, you know, looking at things and you're seeing somebody who's a bigot or a dictator and you're pointing the finger at them, you're being shown that because the universe is there again with the mirror showing you that an aspect of one of your these sub-personalities, and I've got it up to my students working on 1,728 of these. If you think of a line of 12, and then when you're into healing with those 12, and then you make that a square of 12 by 12, and then you make that square a cube of 12 by 12 by 12, there's 1,728 aspects of self in there, and every one of those is being reflected in the world around you. So if you're looking at dictators, you're looking at rapists, you're looking at murderers, one of those aspects in that cube will be carrying those frequencies, and that's a part of you, a part of your responsibility, a part of your energy. So it's not about pointing the finger at them, it's about noticing that and looking within your aspects, the parts of your soul aspects that are carrying those frequencies, and healing them within yourself. And if people can get that, you know, understand that, this is where turn the other cheek, don't point the finger, don't judge comes from, because you're just judging yourself. You're pointing the finger at a part of yourself. And that goes for everything. And I know it's hard for people to take that on board. And there's the wrong things that are done. But wrong things are done for a reason. Your soul comes in and chooses to experience things for many reasons, usually for karmic reasons, the consequences, and for you to experience being on the receiving end sometimes of what you've given out in previous lifetimes. And this is a shock to people, but it makes perfect sense. That's what karma's for. What goes around comes around. And some people have chosen some really awful, terrible journeys in order to balance their karma. But it's the way it is. And it's just about more understanding. If people really understood that everything they do, say, and think is going to come back on them, they would think more carefully, and they would think from their higher heart and not from selfish thoughts.
Yeah, that's really powerful, because it doesn't mean that, you know, if we love this person that we are condoning their behavior, nor does it mean if we love this person that we, you know, have to break bread with them or anything like that. But I do know, because this thing that I, not to take away from the caller, but I think that it's something that all of us struggle with, so I want to depart a little bit, is, you know, this thing that is really dragging me down is coming from that, you know, and I think, and the same thing with most of the people in this room, most of the listeners, you know, these are not new concepts. Done a lot of work, but we still come to a point where there are these people and these lessons that we cannot rise above. And I think what I'm asking a little bit is, you know, without I'm starting to think that we're trying to do like a weekend worth of one of your seminars in a workshops in an hour long phone conversation here.
Yeah.
But what are some of the reasons that we hold on to our withholding of love or whatever we want to call it? Because I know there's a couple of people right now who I'm just, and it's making me physically ill. It's taking away, and I will not let go. I will not let go of, kind of in the name of kind of wrapped around injustice or whatever I would use to rationalize this is, what are some of the things that you see in working with people? Why do we hold on to these things that are serving us no purpose?
Okay, well, the things that I see, when people are holding on to things like this, is that there's a couple of things. Sometimes trauma memory stored in the body, and it's just the pollution is there, and they haven't had chance to voice, their side, so they're holding on to it because they haven't been given a voice. But another really common one is when you go through a trauma, when you go through a shock or an upset, a part of you can break away. It's called a soul fragmentation. And that soul fragmentation can be like a part of your sub-personality is snapped off, a part of your being is broken away, and it's like it's encased in a block of ice and it's stuck in that trauma and it can't let go of it. You can't let go of it because that part of you is frozen in that time and space, in the astral level, and it's still reliving it and it's still going over and over and over and over the same thing because it's so severely broken away. What I do when I find this with people is I find the traumatized part of their soul, this fragment. I communicate with them. I offer them a voice and healing, act as a mediator between them and the spirit of whoever's hurt them. So there's a kind of mentoring, mediation conversation going on, in the astral level, and then heal that part of them and then integrate that part back into the person who felt they were a victim. Once that part's been integrated back in, they're whole. You'll hear people say, I've never been the same since. I feel like I died that day, or I feel like I lost a part of myself. People say it all the time, and that's literally what's going on. They have lost a part of themselves, and until they can get that part healed and integrated back into their heart chakra, they can be stuck in victimhood for their whole lives. And it's really difficult for them to heal, because of this part of them that's broken away. They're never the same again.
Yeah, but we're not supposed to be the same. I think that's the thing that we forget is no matter what happens, good or bad, we're never going to be the same again. But it seems to be, when we're not the same again because something great happened, we don't seem to experience the same trauma as we do when when something negative happens, when really they're both there to, to teach us lessons and to help our, and to help with our growth and expansion and to heal and to teach lessons and all of this stuff. I just know that for me, and I know that probably every single one of us in the room, and we don't have to say what it is, have a certain number of things, a certain little handful of things, and no matter how much work we've done, how many people we've healed relationships with or stuff, there's certain things that we are just not going to let go of. And
yeah.
It seems to me it's because we don't think that there is anything that will fill that space when actually, clearly, there is.
Well, when I say they're never the same again, what I mean is they're not whole again, and they can't move forward until that part of them has been healed and
mm-hmm.
integrated in. And there can be, the inner victim can be absorbing all of this negativity and doesn't want to let it go, because some people have got an inner victim that likes being a victim and wants something to blame everything on. That we're complex creatures, so some people find it difficult to let go because that part of their ego is quite strong and it is holding on to it and, isn't allowing the forgiving part of them to come in, it's overpowering the part of them that does want to let go. So every case needs to be looked at in an, you know, individually, depending on the person's, you know, the other parts of the psyche of the person. There's always, if you meditated and went into the room, into a room in meditation, and asked for the part of you that's holding on to this to come and talk to you, more likely than not you'd be able to say, you know, give them a voice, let them say what they feel, and bring in the spirit of the other person and have a conversation like they do, you know, in the journey with Brandon Bay's work is similar to that. And it can be sorted out quite quickly, amazingly, really, once that part of the person has been given a voice. A lot of people hold on to things because they haven't been given a chance to say, you know, their piece and their side of the story.
Yeah, I think that that's, I think that it's really interesting. And I think, you know, in so much of this work, because I know that, you know, so many of us, and I didn't mean to hijack the caller's call, but, you know, so many of us, we do so much work and we've healed and we've peeled away a bunch of stuff, but, and you've talked about this in other shows, we're dealing with some stuff that's really, really deep down, right? I mean, even from other generations, even from our ancestors, right? Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, it's the thing is, it's looking at people from the spiritual point of view, I think, is the solution to most of this, and not treating everybody like they're just physical beings. It's the spirit selves and the other areas, parts of us that hold all the, you know, hold on to all of these different things, and they're what we need to be communicating and healing, not just the ego self. People's ego self will say, yeah, I'm fine, it's not bothering me, but there is a part of them that it's eating away at them. I see people that have had big traumas that are overeating, for example. Now, when I take them into trance state and look at their spirit self, the part of them that was hurting has got, it looks like they've got a big hole in the middle of their chest. They're heartbroken. So the food, they're trying, I can see them in spirit eating. And when I say, why are you eating all that food? They'll say, because I've got a big hole and I'm trying to fill the hole. And I say, you know, it's not, food isn't going to fill the hole. You need love in the hole. You need healing in that hole. And I ask angels to bring in golden energy, light energy, white energy into that area and then seal them up and fill the hole. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's like this hole that you hear people talk about, that they're feeding something, whether it's with food, alcohol, you know, drugs, whatever, that they're on a spiritual level, there's a hole there where they've been, like they've been shot blasted through the shock. So, you know, there's lots, and this goes for the heart as well. It's particularly around the heart area. I see this in a lot of people that have been traumatized, have their hearts broken, for example, by somebody. There'll be a big hole in that area of their energetic bodies, and they'll be feeding, trying to fill the hole, trying to fill the space. But the only way to fill that space is to fill it with healing on an energetic level and speak to the spirit of the person, the one that's suffering. We're quite complex creatures, really.
Yeah, very complex speech. And it's really interesting, because it's almost like, you know, Western medicine, how we treat the symptoms, when we just treat the here and now, it's really just a symptom, you know, body, it's really just a symptom. But, oh my God, I forgot we have a caller. Did this discussion resonate at all to your situation with your job? Oh, I think she hung up. I guess it didn't. Anyway, 617, are you there?
Hi, how are you? It's Melissa.
Great. Hi. Did you say you're Samantha?
Melissa.
I'm sorry. Hi. How can we help?
I wanted to know, how can I heal my work situation? I have a pattern going on. I need to break this pattern. I need to make money and love what I do.
Okay. So what are you doing at the moment?
Well, I was temping, and my assignment didn't convert into a full-time assignment, and I'm just struggling with why it's not happening, one, and why do I keep getting into situations where I'm either leaving or getting fired or something along that line.
Okay. First of all, you're not actually working at the job that your soul has brought you here to do, are you?
No.
No. So this is, I get the feeling, well, there's two things going on here. One of them, there is some kind of hex of some sort or bad energy being sent that's affecting you that needs to be cleared in the Akashic Records. This goes back through some generations, about 5 or 6 generations ago. Somebody sent some what would be considered black magic or voodoo energy, and this is affecting you. I'm seeing what looks like a hex in your career path, so that needs to be moved into the Akashic Records. You could try Ho'oponopono to dissolve it.
Okay.
Did you hear me talking about Ho'oponopono earlier?
I'm very familiar with it.
Okay. Well, you could try and use that to dissolve this hex. And the other thing is that you're not actually doing what you're supposed to be doing. So your soul keeps pushing you in, you know, out of the job that you're in, so that you get on track with what you're supposed to be doing. What is it that does make your heart sing?
Well, initially I was supposed to be in the entertainment business, and that kind of just didn't pan out. So ideally I would like, my hope is to launch something where I'm helping others materialize their entertainment dreams by developing marketing and PR strategies for them, events, and doing that for them.
Are you a singer?
Yes.
Yes. You need to sing. Most definitely need to be singing. I don't know what's happened before, but I think it's to do with this hex that I'm talking about. Get rid of the hex and continue with your singing is my advice, because I'm getting big thumbs up for you being a singer. You need to be teaching people as well. This is something else that, you know, about healing with music, healing with song. Sound is one of the most amazing frequencies, and as we move into the next sort of step in healing, at the moment it's gone from light to color. The sound frequencies are really, really important at the moment. So please don't give up on your singing. That is so important to your soul purpose, what you're here to do. You know, helping other people, promoting, great, it's going to pay the bills. But you need to be doing what makes your heart sing. Notice I used the word make your heart sing when I asked you. So don't give up on that, because you're good. You're really good.
Thank you.
So I'm being told this. So
okay.
You know, you need to be stick with it. Get rid of this hex. Do whatever you can to get this hex out of your way and get back into the, you know, get the microphone out, girl. Get singing.
So my question with the hex, it obviously it wasn't a personal on me. It was
no.
A hex that was placed on some relative.
It's passed down your ancestral lineage, and you're suffering some of the backlash of it. It's not a hugely powerful one, but it's a pain in the backside one. You need to clear it.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
And don't give up on the singing. It's really important. That's what you should be doing. And
but
teaching.
I feel like I'm too old at this point to make it as a career.
You can teach. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm in my 30s.
Too old? You're joking me.
Well, I mean,
I mean
on like a global international level type thing. I don't necessarily mean to do it. I just mean on like a professionally. It's the industry, the music business is a very young person's business.
Yeah, not everybody's looking for 20-year-olds these days, 18-year-olds. I would like you to sit down quietly. just take a couple of nice deep breaths. Imagine there's a little golden orb of light hovering above the top of your head, about 12 inches above the top of your head, about the size of an orange. It's a golden orb. And then breathe it in to the top of your head, down your spine and into your heart center. This is your higher self. Do that. Ask your higher self, what am I meant to be doing here? Because I don't think you've been getting the right information. Don't worry so much about being if you really want to be a global success, you will be. It doesn't matter how old you are. You create your reality and the world will drop into place. If you want to be a global singer, if you want to be the next Whitney Houston or whatever, believe it and you'll make it happen. Don't listen to anybody else. Just focus on it and go for it. Because you've got people out there, people, you know, that have been in the music business for 10 years and didn't make it till they were 30. Duffy is one in this country for a start, and she's an amazing singer. So just go for it. If you've got the talent, don't let anybody put you off and don't let anybody get in your way. But you're meant to be teaching people about using their voice to heal them as well. So it's a healing modality. You need to go on a course to learn about using the voice in healing and incorporating that into some part-time teaching. This could turn into full-time teaching. But learn to communicate with your higher self and listen. Take time out and listen. Do that, I've just shown you that meditation. Tune in a quiet space. Ask your higher self to guide you. And you can do that every day. It's something you can do when you wake up in the morning, for a couple of minutes, and you'll get guided to the right people in the right places. But please don't give up on your singing. That would be a sin if you did.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you.
And very
Thank
best
you,
wishes Anna. To you.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Oh, that was wonderful. And it was interesting singing, something that... a lot of just change it. It does. It changes the vibration of the situation, even if you don't have a good voice. Okay, now we're going to go to 805. Are you there?
I'm here. Hello. It's been interesting hearing all that you have to say. My name's Donna.
Hi, Donna.
Yeah, I'll just tell you a quick little story. I'm 59, and I had a very emotionally abusive relationship with my father, and it continued through my entire life. He passed away a year ago. And I've had a lot of physical abuse, 2 rapes with a rape drug, and just, getting hit in the nose. I mean, it wasn't brought on by anything. I think maybe drinking and things like that. I never got married. But for 5 years, my last boyfriend passed away. I've been alone for 5 years, and I've pretty much stayed by myself, walked on the beach, nurtured myself. And it's funny, the other day I was taking a bath, and something from my body emanated, and I felt such love and healing. And I hadn't experienced that before, and it was just so profound. But I must say that people do say in my life that I'm, first of all, a very giving person, but they say also, I hear it all the time, that I'm very compassionate and humble.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that, has to do with the experiences that I've had,
Yeah.
But I wanted to know, I would like to attract a partner. I would like to have a partner. Someone to travel with and do things together and, a loving, kind man in my life. And I wanted to know if, you see this happening because of a lot of the healing that I have done.
Okay. Well, first of all, the energy I'm picking up from you is really lovely. And considering what you've been through, you're still shining. So, fair play to you. I'm seeing a part of you, though, that is still fragmented away to do with the rape. So there's some more healing to be brought in there. You need to find that fragment and heal her and integrate her back into your heart chakra. It would be a good idea as well for you to check that you that, well, I think a lot of this is down to you. There's some victim consciousness left in your vibrations from previous lifetimes. There is actually a Removing Victim Consciousness MP3 on my website, crystalkey.com, a download. It's a 25-minute, 30-minute download to help remove victim consciousness from your consciousness. It's about $16. And that's Crystal Key, crystalki.com. I think it would be good for you to get that before you start manifesting a partner, because if you've got victim consciousness in your energy field and you're going to be attracting somebody that could be making you into their next victim.
Oh, please.
So it's a really important thing to heal.
My rapes were drug related, but I, you know, like I sensed something going on and then of course I passed out. They weren't violent rapes, but I think the body still knows that, you know, I know that few seconds that something was wrong.
Yes.
See, I knew, and then
your spirit still suffered. Whether, you know, your physical self may have been unconscious, but your spiritual body was still traumatized.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's what I'm being shown. There's still part of you that's fragmented out of your body. I was talking about this soul fragments earlier in the show, and it's this part of you that needs to be healed. And gently coming, you know, gently brought back in and say, you know, it's okay now. It's safe now. You can come back into the body. So there's a part of you missing, Donna.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah. And I'm not one to stay in the back shadows. I do speak up and I'm very straightforward. And mm-hmm. that way I can comprehend people more and not have any misunderstandings of how they are and whatnot, you know. So, okay, so I would go to Crystal Key. Is that C-R-Y-S-T-A-L?
Yeah, K-I.com.
K-I.com.
Yeah.
Which one is it called again? Which one?
It's called Victim Consciousness.
Victim Consciousness.
But that needs to be cleared. There's lots of other MP3s on there as well, but that was the one that would be important for you. Now, regarding relationships, I think once you've cleared this, and I would get that other part of you back in as well, if you can sort that out. I don't think I'm seeing two men coming into your life round about the same time. And I think that, you know, that you're going to have a choice, and I'm not getting that. It's 50-50 here, so it's purely down to whichever one you feel more attracted to or works better for you is the one you're going to choose. I'm not getting a one's better than the other.
I just started the internet dating. I'm going real slow with it, but I'm putting myself out there.
Yeah. Now, these guys are in their mid-50s, so I'm 55 sort of age group.
Oh, that's perfect for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
I like a little younger too. I'm pretty young, and I'm young looking, and I like to do a lot of things, you know. So
yeah, you sound it. Your energy's vibrant as well. You've got a really lovely, bubbly, vibrant energy, positive energy.
Yeah.
Amy, are you picking up anything else?
I'm a very positive person. What?
No, I'm picking up a lot of positivity. I mean, just have to say. And again, where it really struck me is when you were talking. We only have a few seconds left here, but when you were talking about your circumstances, it wasn't like you were holding on to, it was not like you were holding on to them. And I know I work with a lot of widows, and they just hold on to, they just want to be a widow. They just want to have that. And when you were telling that you were recounting it, and but it was from a place where you're clearly ready to let go of it. It's almost like you have let go of it, but you don't even realize that the tie's been broken. You've defined yourself in those terms for so long. So I really think that these meditation, I think that that's something that many of us do, is we just think that we feel like we felt yesterday, and we don't even check our vital signs to see. But the way that you spoke, very clear to me that you've done the work. you've let go, but you're kind of having some kind of like postpartum, almost like postpartum, like it's just confusing when you don't have it and after you've given birth to it and it's not there anymore. It's like, you know, phantom, that phantom leg thing or whatever it's called. So I think that you just need to remind yourself that you've done the work and it's gone and all is well because there's just so much optimism and hope in your voice. It's like, oh, okay, the light's green, you can go. So just move forward and all is well because you have indeed done the work and it's evident in both the way you tell your story and in your overall energy. But we have to remember we have to grieve when we lose things that weren't even in our best interest. There's still a grief process, and that's what I'm sensing is that you've defined yourself in terms of those things for so long. You're in the process of redefining yourself. So make sure that you work on some, or just develop some new affirmations that will, you know, that take the place of that. And you know, and you don't have to like get bumper stickers and necklaces, and you know, make a whole shrine out of them. But I sense that you're sort of at a loss of who you, if you're not that anymore, who are you? And to just pay attention to the things that you like, pay attention to the things that make you happy, and remember those things and fill up your solar plexus chakra. Your sense of self seems a little shaky, like you just not quite sure, you know. We talk about lives between lives when people die, but sometimes in life we have lives between lives after something has happened and we're getting ready to go on to the next chapter. And sometimes we sit there too long, and sometimes I talk too long, which is what I'm doing right now. But I really sense you've done the work and that you have let go. You just don't. It's just too new. It's just too new. So just get used to the new feelings and enjoy them.
Yeah. Oh, that was wonderful. That was sweet. That's how I'm feeling, definitely. And I'm just so looking forward to everything. And, you know, I just feel like, you know, I've come a long way. And, you know, I'm happy. I can't say I'm not unhappy. No, I'm happy.
You sound happy. You do sound happy, actually.
You do sound happy.
Yeah,
first it was a little bit confusing me because you had this happy tone to your voice, and then you were telling some things that, you know, were not really happy. And I was like, it took me back for a second, and I continued to listen and work with the energy associated with it and realize, like, okay, at first I was like, wow, that's weird. She's talking about it like, you know, she just got off the best ride at Disney World. And I was like, but no, that's not it. And many people will talk in happy talk when you can tell it's just they're pouring like cotton candy all over a situation, but it's not at all. It's not at all. So enjoy it. You worked hard. And enjoy. I think one of the mistakes many of us make is when we're in that life between lives, we stay there too long because we don't think we're ready. But it's time to fly. Time to fly.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah, people do stay in that. And I think a lot of it has to do with grieving. I grieve. I walk the beach, you know, grieve, and I get over it. And I'm not a person to hold any grudges either. I don't hold grudges whatsoever. You know, you grieve, you get over with it, and you know, life's wonderful. Life has a lot of adventures. Your life can change in seconds, and for the better, for fabulous. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
And I think it's being centered in the spirituality of your own spirituality, whatever it be, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You sound amazing. Have you ever thought about helping other women that have been through similar, you know, issues and traumas?
Yeah, I have thought about it. You know, I might do something like that.
Yeah. You'd be an inspiration.
I'm always helping people, though. I help people all the time. I'm one of these people that I would give the shirt off my back. I let people stay in my living room for a year and helping them out, and I all the time. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm one of these people that I do a lot of charity work, but I do it, without getting the recognition doing it all the time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Maybe there's a blog talk, or again, it's not like you have to bring all these people in, but your story is a very, very powerful one about a very, very, a circumstance that many women, men, I happen to as well, do not have the courage to let go. Who do not have the courage to let go of that and walk around, and it's just very, very inspirational to, to hear, because it is just abundantly clear in your energy that you have worked very hard to get to where you are.
Yeah. Well done, you.
Yeah, I'm happy I did the work, and definitely, I look forward to, every day. I'm not even looking forward. I mean, it's nice to look forward to something, but I'm happy in every day. Do you know what I mean? It's like I find the niceties and the little things, and I'm not striving for things all the time. I think that really gets you in a dilemma if you're striving for something or comparing yourself and, I don't compare myself with other people or I'm not that, I don't need other people's opinions of me to who I am.
You're in a good space.
Oh, thanks.
You're in a really good
so.
Space. I think some of that comes from the hype, but, some of that comes from being what I would prefer to call being grown up as well, though, because I think when you get to a certain age, and I'm over it myself as well, it you just become more comfortable in your own skin, and you learn to accept yourself, and life gets so much easier when you get to that level.
It really does, because it's not meant to be, while difficult things sometimes happen and unfortunate things happen, life's meant to be challenging, and life's meant to be, like an obstacle course, but it's not meant to be painful and debilitating and something that we need to hide from. Well, this, I am so glad you called, because this is just ending the show on just such a positive note, really inspiring everyone, including myself, who's wallowing in low vibration nonsense that is not serving me, that any given point in time, we can just choose to experience things differently. And, Janine, it was so great to have you. And for those of you who are still listening, which is probably next to nobody, Janine has a website, crystalk.com. And you can also find her on Facebook. And don't forget, what's the name of your show that's going to start January 15th?
It's called Cosmic Truth, and it'll be a 30-minute show at 6 p.m. Eastern. That's 11 p.m. UK time, and I'll be having a different guest every week with my co-host, AM, from Planet X Radio. And hopefully we're going to be sharing some amazing insight with people into different subjects, such as psychic, magic, animal communications, and all sorts of stuff, really, because I just want to help educate people, really, and give them, connections to new information and higher levels of consciousness. That's what the show's for.
That is the goal of all, that is the goal of all of this, is, to facilitate healing and to facilitate situation where certainly look to, people such as Janine and the other practitioners for learning and for consultation and things, but at the end of the day, really have to, it's really a job that we can only do for ourselves, and really the only way we can do it is to open ourselves up to the energy. because it really, all of this stuff, whether we're talking about mediumship, talking to dead people or healing our bodies or getting over trauma or anything like that, it really does all take place in the energy. So I really look forward to that show, and I hope that I'm just thrilled that I was able to share the airwaves with you on such short notice this afternoon. You're always just a wonderful guest to have on. We just so appreciate your vast, all the work you've done and all the knowledge that you impart to everyone. So it was great to have you again. And if anyone's still listening, for those that are listening in archives, thank you so much. And we'll see you again next week.
Thanks, Amy. It's been a pleasure to work with you again, too.
Okay, great. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, Donna.